Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed Aleph of Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 31 of the book of Yechezkel. It's the last of the chapters that will be focused on Egypt, on the Egyptians, on Mitzrayim, and it's at this point, it's a relatively short chapter, and there's relatively little written on it. There are no major chazals that I want to quote, and Rashi and Radak are relatively quiet on this, so it will be probably a short Perek. And since it's the last parak, I think it's interesting to know the dates. So in Pasuk Aleph, in Parak Laman Aleph, we have Vayhi b'chadashre shana b'shlishi b'chad l'chodesh Hayad var Hashem elai lemor, that on the 11th year, in the third month, in the first of the month. So we're not yet at Churban Bayit, which I think we think of as being in the 11th year, but in the fifth month, right? Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz Av. So we're not yet at Churban Bayit. So the next chapter, I'm sorry, it's not the last chapter about Egypt. The next chapter, in Perek Lamed Bet, is the last chapter, and that's in Ashtei Esrei Shana, B'Shnei Asar Chodesh, B'Echad HaChodesh. That's already a while after the Churban. It's in the 12th year, in the 12th month, the first of the month. So it's already, that's way after, it's a few months after Churban Bayit. So I'm sorry, the Churban Bayit, I think, is in the 12th year. So this is already after that, because it's in the 12th month. It's much later. So, and then if you look back in the previous chapters, in chapter Lamed, we're not told of when the date was, but in Perek Chavtet, it's Bashena Ha'asirit Ba'asirit B'Shnei Masar L'Chodesh, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, so that's before this one, right? Lamed Aleph is in the 11th year, the 3rd month, so it's been 3 months since his last nevuah about Mitzrayim. I don't know if he didn't have nevuah in between. And then the first of his nevuah, and then in Perek, whereas in the Prakim on Tzor, the date that we're given in the Prakim on Tzor is later, right? It's in Perek Chaf Vav. It says Vahiba Shtes Veshana Bechad LaChodesh Ad Rasham Elai Lemor. And the Radakat assumed that that meant the month of the Churban. So it's in between, right? He's having the Nevuot about Mitzrayim surrounding or sandwiching the one about, sorry, there's a few before the Churban and then one after the Churban. So it's sort of interesting, and this depends on, to some extent, how much you think of Nevuah as being a function of psychology and how much of it being just Hashem invading somebody. So there's probably some kind of a mix, right? It's probably true that Hashem gives you the Nevuot that Hashem wants to give you, absolutely, for sure. But it may also be true that there's some element in which you're ready to hear, particular Nevi'im are ready to hear particular things, or are more open to hearing particular things, that those affect what they end up hearing. And that would be sort of why Chazal say things like that each Navi has his own signon, his own style, so that could only just be a vehicle of expression. But it's also true, let's say, that the Navi Ovadia has one perek, and that perek is all about Edom, and Chazal's tradition is that he was a ger, he was a convert from Edom. So there's some of that to it. If that's true, or whether or not that's true, it's interesting that Yechezkel, sitting off in Bavel, already having been exiled, is thinking about Egypt. Now, it could be that even in his time, when before he went into exile, Egypt had committed to helping the Jews and had failed to. So therefore, Egypt was on the mind of Yechezkel, or was a problem for Yechezkel. But you have these repeated nevuot, as in the run-up to the Churban, Yechezkel's focus, or some of Yechezkel's focus, is on Egypt. Much less on Tzor. We saw a few chapters on Tzor, and Tzor is certainly a theme of Yechezkel's, and something that, and a city that had great symbolic importance to him, but in a different way. So here we have, and this is the last one about Mitzrayim before the Churban, Ben Adam Emor. So in Pasuk Bet it says, Ben Adam Emor El Paro Melech Mitzrayim El Hamonov, say to the king of Egypt, and to all of his crowded, all of his gathered people, and me, Damita Vigodlecha, who did you think to compare yourself to when you were trying to think of yourself as great? Right? And this is the definition of greatness. So the Radak thinks that part of the message is, and even though you thought of yourself as so great, and you were as great as, let's say in your mind, you were as great as Ashur, they had a downfall. So that's one part of it, right? You thought to compare yourself to Ashur and they had a downfall. But I think it's also pointing out that your whole frame of reference is wrong, that your definitions of greatness are going to be Ashur. And the fact of their downfall is not only that, therefore, you shouldn't think you're so great, it's therefore you should realize that you're not even judging greatness in the right way. So we'll see that in the Perek. Hene Ashur Erez Belvanon Yefein Anaf V'choresh Meitzal Lugvah Kuma, Ashur was like a cedar in the Lebanon, meaning a beautiful tree with beautiful branches, and Choresh Meitzal, and Anaf Shehu Mistabich Harbev Oset Tzil Tachtav, is where the Radak has it. So it would be, the JPS has shady thickets, but the Radak, which is what the Radak means, but the way he says it is, that the branches intertwine to create sort of a canopy and a roof over this jungle. Ugvakoma and tall, uvena votimaita tsamarto. And its top, its tsameret, the top of the tree, is among intertwined leafy trees or clouds or something like that. So in other words, it's beautiful. Mayim gidlu, and it's been, so in the metaphor of trees, mayim gidlu means that it's got a lot of water and therefore it can grow well, because it, even though it grows high, it has good ways of conveying the water to the top and it has plentiful water to do it. Tehom ramumato, the deeps, the depths are what make it grow tall with the water. Naharoteha lech sivot mata'a, and there are rivers going around where it was planted. Vet aloteha shilcha el kol atzeh asadeh, and then it sends out sort of irrigation ditches. It would be what ta'alot are, right? It makes channels so that it can be able to get to its water. So in the metaphor, that's the reason why they mention all of these water issues is that the metaphor is them of a tree, and therefore it's going to have great success because it arranged for all of these things to provide it with the various amounts of water that it needs. Interestingly, Rashi translates the metaphor into national terms, right? So in Mayim Gidluhu, it's like nations that have a lot of power. It was even more powerful than that, and they all put them on top of it. And then Rashi quotes a Medrash that says that what is it that led to Ashur becoming great? It became great because first it ignored or it stayed away from the ideas of the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaFlaga was the Tower of Babel, of Bavel, and so the Rashi points out that the Pasuk in Bereshit says, Min haaretz ahu, ahi yetzah Ashur. From there, Ashur left. And so the tradition is that, why did Ashur leave? Ashur left because it didn't want to be part of that whole thing, and therefore, in separating, it got the right to have a certain amount of power in the world. And that goes on with the idea that it should have known that all of its power comes from its staying with Hashem and turning to Hashem, or being aware of what Hashem wants in some, even in some implicit way, and that's really the source of its success. But then, and then to Tehom Rumatu, a similar idea, Rashi says, "V'al sheshamal lekol Yonah ben Amitai sheyarad la'tehom," because they listen to Yonah. Oh, and so Ashur listens to Yonah because Nineveh is the capital of Ashur. So Ashur Tehom Rumatu, that they listened to Yonah and they did tshuva. That's what led to them being great as well, because they got rid of the Hamas, all of the evil that was in their midst. So these points, according to Rashi, are that this whole plastic is trying to say, not just that it was, it had good sources of power, but it was trying to emphasize that those sources of power were really based in Hashem and based in its connection or its understanding of its need for a connection with Hashem. Al-Kain gav ha-kamoto, and that's why it got so tall. We call it Tzeh-Sadeh, more than all the trees of the field, v'tibenesar apotav, v'te'erachna forotav. It got a lot of branches and a lot of bigger branches, boughs, mimai rabim b'shalecho, because of all of the water that helps it grow. Bisapotav kinnu kol ov hashamayim, and then all of the birds of the sky nested there. V'tachat forotav yoldu kol chayat hasadeh, and then animals would come and they would give birth to their young there. V'tzilo yeshivu kol goyim rabim, and they would sit in the shade all of the nations. V'ayif pigod lo, so beautiful and how great it was. Borech daliotav k'yashar ashel mayim rabim, because its roots were in great water. So in the metaphor, and again this is obviously all meant as metaphor, and in the metaphor it's saying that Ashur became like a great tree, which was the source of life and pleasure, life not in the technical sense of life, but in terms of being able to live a pleasant and enjoyable life. So that's what Ashur became in its time and for all those around it. So that's the images of the birds. It would be some kinds of nations, and they come and they nest there and they have their young, and the other animals come and all this, and that's what it is. And it's all because it's got these deep and ready roots that will serve it well throughout its existence. Nobody could match it, right? Couldn't compare it to it. The cedars couldn't, broshim lo demu, the cypresses couldn't, to its apotav, amonim lo hayu keforotav, and then other trees couldn't match its boughs, called eitz began elokim lo damai elav viofio. None of the trees began elokim in the garden of God could match its beauty. So the reference to Gan Elokim, not clear. Rashi and Radak don't comment on it, but I wonder whether the reference to Gan Elokim. So there is a in the pasuk in I think a pasuk in the Torah says Gan Elokim Kimitzrayim, like a garden of God, like Egypt. Whether or not wherever that pasuk is, it is somewhere there. So the reference to a Gan Elokim, but also strikes me as reminding me of Gan Eden, which is also Gan Elokim, the origins of humanity. And what was supposed to happen there was that we were supposed to live in the shade of God, with God running everything for us. So here, Ashur seems to manage to bring some of that around, some kind of world peace, some kind of the world understanding, each understanding their roles and living their roles. Yafas, Yitiv, Hashem says, Hashem stresses that I made it beautiful. Berov Daliotav, Kanu Kolatze Eden, here the explicit, I'm sorry, here, where it's explicit, the Gan Elokim, Asher Gan Elokim, the reference to Eden. So Eden being a state, then, not only a state of a garden, literally a garden where all the fruit tastes good and you can do whatever you want, but Eden being perhaps, and certainly some medievalists saw, some medieval philosophers thought this was what Gan Eden meant, even in the original Torah story, that it wasn't necessarily a particular garden, but it was a state of nature in which nature worked well, in which nobody had to work very hard. They had their needs provided for them, and they could just enjoy and relax and live at peace with each other. So Ashur, by virtue of its power, recreated some of that, right? But then Hashem says in this pasuk, in pasuk Tet, Yafeh Asitiv, so the Radak points out that the point of us saying Asitiv is that that it's to remind us that Hashem is the one who did it, and it's not like Ashur thought, and this is going to be the downfall of Ashur, and it's the problem with Mitzrayim, it's the problem with Tzor. It's not them doing it, it's Ashur doing it. So Ashur is producing great results. So we in the modern time can see this too. You can have nations which do wonderful things, remarkable things, advance the world with technology, with healthcare, with whatever it could be. And it's not their contributions need to be downplayed. It's that they then go the next step and say, it's all me. And that's what Ashur seems to do as well. So Ashur, in fact, produces an Eden-like experience. The problem is that in producing that Eden-like experience, gets so taken with itself that it says, it's all me, and Hashem needs to remind us that it's him. So Pasuk Yud, L'chein komar Hashem Elokim yan Asher gafah b'koma Haitein samartol ben avotim v'ram levo b'gofo. So Hashem says, because it grew so tall and mighty, and it puts its tamarit among the clouds, perhaps, or in the highest places, and it thinks of itself, and it gets high on itself and taken with itself by virtue of its height. So Hashem says, I'm going to give him into the hands of other nations, in difficult nations. Rashi says, this is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who's going to be a tough opponent, and they're going to lose to Nebuchadnezzar, to Babel, and then they're going to get banished from Hashem's Gan by virtue of their failures. Ve'chertu zarim aritzei goyim vayiteshu el harim v'chol ge'ayot naflu daliotav v'tishavar neforotav v'chol afikei haaretz v'yerdu mitilo kol amei haaretz vayiteshu. So they're going to cut down his these nations, right? And these strangers are going to cut down and make waste of their various beauties, right? They're going to break their boughs and their branches, and all of the shade is going to go away, and then all the other nations are going to abandon it. So this is a remarkable commentary. Again, it's a nevuah, so I don't mean that it's a social or political commentary, but if we applied it, we could use it as a social or political commentary on the nature of great powers and what they tend to do. They produce great results. They produce great boons for the nations around them, and that shouldn't be neglected, but then they get taken with themselves. They get to take it to saying that it comes from them, rather than being blessed by God and being given the opportunity in all of the more humble ways, more modest ways that one would have of saying it. And what happens is that somebody else comes along, another nation comes along, and replaces them, and then the cycle continues. That nation has the opportunity to produce great things for the world, and sometimes does, but also has the opportunity to make the same mistake, and often does as well, and then they get abandoned by all the various nations. So even though the nations had shape themselves to come to Ashur, in the metaphor, the animals and the birds, and they're having their children there, this, or that, but then they leave it. So, where it falls, they're gonna make nests, right? Now, so it used to be they used their branches for nests, and that was comfortable, but they can adjust these other nations, these minor nations, right? This is a battle between Babel and Ashur, but all the other nations, they can make do either way. So they used to take advantage of Ashur. They used to benefit from Ashur's greatness when it was great. And then when it falls, they can benefit from the ruins of Ashur, and that's what they do. Right? On the broken branches that are now broken on the ground, so they can lodge there. The man ashalik behu bekomotam kol atzei mayim velo yitnu et samartam el bein avotim v'yimdo alehem begofam kol shotei mayim kichulam nitnu lamavet el eretz tachtit betoch b'nei adam al yardei var. So Hashem says, and the point of all this is that none of the trees, and by trees, again, the metaphor is to nations, I'm doing this to Ashur so that all the other nations should learn a lesson, so that all the other kings should come to realize, and then that all the other trees shouldn't think that they now have good supplies of water. They shouldn't come to believe that their supplies of water are sufficient for everything. Right? They should just come and say, oh, no, I understand that I shouldn't do this. So that's what Hashem is trying to say. Ashur is meant to be the example of a nation that did great, produced great, but it had fatal flaws that led to its downfall, and that should have taught everybody else a lesson as well. Kiseiti alav et home v'aimna naharotel v'ikalu mayim rabim v'akader alav levanon v'cholatzei hasadeh alav ulpa. So on the day that I lowered it, right, the Yom Ridito Sheola, when it went down, when it died, right, but the point is when I lowered it by losing it to Nebuchadnezzar, to Bavel. So the English, I'm sorry, so the English has, I closed the deep over it and covered it, because they think Avalti is from Avula, which means a gate, so I closed the deep over it, and I closed up its rivers, and all of the water was held back in check, and then the Lebanon, and all the trees mourned on it, were anguished because of it, right? And they're upset. So before we noted that they were going to make do, and they were going to be able to work it out, but now they're saying that there was upset over it. Nikol mapaltohi ashti goyim, from the sound of its falling, other nations were all upset. Already otosh ola et yoredevor, when I brought it down into the depths with those who go down into the deep, meaning those who die. V'yinachamu be'eretz tachtikol atzei eden, mivchar v'tov levanon kol shotei mayim. And then all of the rest of Lebanon that were well watered, so they all go down to the lowest parts, and that's where they're going to get tanchumim. And the reason they're going to get tanchumim is because now Ashur has joined them, so they'll get at least that. They'll see that Ashur is no different than them, not more special than them, or anything like that. Gamheim ito Yeridush Ola al Khalalai Kharev was Rao Yashvu Vitilo Batoch Koyim. So they too went into Sheol, and they were slain by the sword, and its supporters as well, who had lived under its shadow. So the point of all of Ashur. Now, I think it's interesting that when Hashem says Hevalti, so it might be Hevalti means like the JPS English translation has it. But Kiseid Yalav at the home, but I wonder whether Hevalti might also have an implication. And again, I didn't see it in Rashi and Radak, so it could be that I'm completely wrong. But might have some implication of avelut, of mourning or being upset over what happened. It's certainly true that in the metaphor, Hashem is saying there are various sources of water that are now being shut off. So it's not true that the world just goes on and it's fine without Ashur. In fact, it seems to be that Ashur had some contributions that were now blocked off because their water sources are blocked off. In the metaphor, they're a tree, and now if their water sources are blocked off, so there might be other waters elsewhere that provide other things, but that's not Ashur's waters. And that in the downfall of nations like this, and the downfall, Hashem points out, comes only because they were too taken with themselves. So in that downfall, we lose, everybody loses, the world loses, by virtue of all those waters that are then blocked up and lost. Pasuk Yudchet. Now we're going to bring it back to Mitzrayim. El mida mita kacha bechavod v'godol atzei eden v'huradta atzei eden el eretz tachti b'toch harinim tishka v'chal v'cherev v'ufaro v'chol hamono nu'um Hashem Elokim. So Hashem says, who is it you're comparing yourself to, right? And this is the end of the parak, right? It's a very short parak, as I mentioned. It's only 18 psukim. But who is it you're comparing yourself to, and who is it you're making your standard of what you want to be like? So if you're making yourself like Ashur, you have to see the results of being Ashur. The results of being Ashur are that you take yourself overly seriously. You give yourself excess credit when it doesn't really belong to you, and that will lead to your downfall, which has downsides not only for you, but downsides for the rest of the world as well, in that the contributions that Ashur could have made, I'm sorry, the contributions that Mitzrayim could have made, they won't be able to make because their attitude is going to lead to them being punished and them going to be their sources of water taken away and all those terrible things that happened to Ashur. So I find this parak interesting because until now, it's got many of the same underlying themes, right? If you trace back what Yechezkel has been told by Hashem when it comes to Mitzrayim and Chavtet and Lin Lamed, so starting, as I pointed out, starting in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu, so in the last stages of Tzidkiyahu's reign, but in the 10th year and the 10th month, and then in Perek Lamed going on to... No, Perek Lamed doesn't have a date, I'm sorry. But then going on to this one, where it's in the 11th year, it's 3 months later, so he seems to have moved already. The first one was just how problematic or how terrible Mitzrayim is, and they see themselves, and they think of themselves as being so great, and this and that. So this is sort of a similar message, but taking a different tack, taking a different approach. And the approach of this perek is, look what you're doing to yourself, and what you're doing to the rest of us by virtue of what you're doing to yourself. So I find that a very different kind of a message, a different kind of approach, and it makes you wonder. Again, it's a mix of Hashem telling him what to say, and then to some extent, Yechezkel's personality getting somewhat mixed in here as well, but the combination is striking to me, because this is already a cry of, look at what you're doing to yourself, and look what you're doing to the rest of us, and look who you're modeling yourself after, and why would you do that? As opposed to where before it was just, Mitzrayim, you think too greatly of yourself, you think the Nile does everything for you, you're going to lose, you're going to be defeated by the sword, you're going to this, you're going to this, you're going to that, just punishment. So this is a different tack, a different approach. It's no more successful in this particular instance, but as we watch it, perhaps we will learn from one or the other approaches and come to realize the ways in which nations and people damage themselves when they could easily have avoided it by virtue of ignoring lessons like this, the fundamental lesson being that the greatness is not great. The greatness is great, but the greatness has to always be recognized as coming from Hashem, because otherwise it will lead to downfalls, and that will be a loss not only to the people involved, but to all of the people around them who could have benefited from the contributions they could have made. Have a great day.